Welcome to this exclusive presentation of Penn Baseball, streaming live on the World Wide Web via PennAthletics.com. Today, at Murphy Field, it's Senior Day. The Quakers will complete an all-critical four-game series with Ivy League and Lou Gehrig Division foe Princeton. The set got off to a great start yesterday with two gritty Penn wins. This afternoon's games will determine whether the Red and Blue can keep their sights set on their first Ancient Eight championship since 1995, or a continuous stretch of subordination to the Orange and Black that began the year following that very title run. Thanks for logging on to this Penn Baseball webcast. I'm Brian Seltzer. Joining me is Brian Lindy, and we'll be covering the bases for you in this conference clash between bitter rivals, one that we can really apply to all athletic events that pit these two programs against one another. Now, Brian, this weekend may very well rank as one of the most dramatic in Penn's history of terms of their baseball. First, the Quakers came into this back-to-back doubleheader with their hopes for a Lou Gehrig Division crown hanging in the balance. They trailed the Tigers by two in the standings. They knew they needed to post at least three victories to keep the race close. They responded by taking two games 24 hours ago. Secondly, the emotional circumstances of this weekend are almost a bit, just a bit too overwhelming, as Penn head coach Bob Seddon and the 12 Red and Blue class of seniors compete in their final contests in West Philadelphia. It's been understood for a while, about a year now, that Seddon would step down from the managerial post that he's occupied for the past 34 years this season, and the graduation of a keystone class with this class of 2005 is a natural occurrence that we see every year, but that really doesn't make it all that much easier.
No, it doesn't. But definitely this is an exciting year for Bob Seddon to be going out with a chance here to put the Quakers in great position to have a chance at winning the Lou Gehrig Division of the Ivy League. They can do that by put themselves in an excellent position by posting a sweep here today again, and by winning one, they definitely keep themselves in contention. They did a huge service to help them yesterday by winning the two games, and both were close games. Both low-scoring games, good pitching, but the Quakers prevailed in both, and that was especially key for this game to finally win a couple of close games, especially after the recent stretch when they had lost so many by Justin Hare.
And as we talk a lot about the immense postseason implications that this game may have, we should take the time to describe to you the way the Ivy League is set up. Unlike other sports within the Ancient Eight, baseball has two divisions of four teams apiece. The first one is the Lou Gehrig Division, which hosts Penn, Princeton, Cornell, and Columbia. Then there is the Red Wolf Division, which has Harvard, Brown, Dartmouth, and Yale. And the way the standings are shaping up right now, Penn and Princeton are tied for first place. Penn, however, has played four more games, and they are 7-7, whereas Princeton is 5-5. However, they're both sitting at 500. And Penn and Princeton are therefore deadlocked. With two Penn wins today, that would knock Princeton down to 5-7, and Penn would move up to 9-7 and then secure first place. However, if they do split today, that would make things a little bit different, because Princeton would become 6-5, whereas Penn goes to 8-7, and their winning percentage would be slightly higher for the Orange and Black, and therefore they would assume first place. But close behind on their heels is Cornell. They are 3-5. They sit just a game behind to the Big Red, Penn and Princeton, and in the last place spot in the Gehrig Division, the Columbia Lions. They are 1-13, six games back, and have no shot of catching up to the competition up top. On the other side, in the Red Wolf, it goes Harvard in first place. They're 9-1. Clearly, so far, they have been the best team in the Ancient Eight. They're followed by Brown. They're 6-2, two games out behind the Crimson. Then there's Dartmouth. They're 6-4. They're three games behind in the race. And Yale is sitting in at 5-5, an even 500 record. And when you look at the schedules remaining for these two teams, Penn, after this weekend set against Princeton, they have two games against Lafayette and Lehigh in the Lehigh Valley against those two teams, two Patriot League programs. And then they go on the road next weekend on Saturday, April 23rd and Sunday, April 24th. They have two double dips up in Ithaca, New York against Cornell, and that will be it for the Penn Quakers. Princeton, however, they're going to be playing a little bit later into the season, because after this weekend set, they have a game against Monmouth, then they have four against Columbia in a home-and-home back-to-back doubleheader series. Then they play St. John's out of conference and go on to close out their season against Cornell as well, the final weekend in April, which bridges the first weekend in May to boot. So that's how it stands for the rest of these two teams. But certainly the Quakers, if they are able to pull out two wins this afternoon and, who knows, sweep the series against the Tigers, they would put themselves in control and control their destiny for the rest of the year. Princeton, meanwhile, they will not be taking those two losses yesterday lightly by any means. the scores in those two games. Penn took the first one by a score of 3-1 and then really gutted one out 5-4 in the second. And the Princeton Tigers, they are the reigning champions several times over of this Lou Gehrig division, and that is not a status or distinction they are looking to relinquish. So they will be very emotional and fired up and getting ready to go this afternoon, because when we take a look a year ago, it was Penn and Princeton. They had four games on a Saturday and Sunday, the final weekend in April, and the four games were played out of Princeton, and the Tigers took the first two, and Penn came back to take the second. However, it really didn't have any implications on where those two would shape up, as the Tigers had their spot atop the Lou Gehrig division all wrapped up by that point, and they went on to defeat Dartmouth in the Ivy League Championship Series, and then face off against Virginia in the Virginia Regional Round of the NCAA tournament. So the Penn Quakers, they come into this afternoon's contest with an overall record of 11-18. As I said, they're an even 500 at 7-7, tied for first place in the Lou Gehrig division. And the Princeton Tigers, meanwhile, they are 11-17, 5-5 in the Lou Gehrig, sitting not at all up with Penn. However, we should point out that on the road, the Tigers are just 4-16, whereas at home at Clark Field, they are 7-1, so their performance on the road not really measuring up to what they've been able to do out in Princeton, New Jersey. Well, the Quakers, it's pretty much the same way. At home, Penn is 10-5 on the road. They are 1-8, counting the neutral site games played down in Florida. They are 1-13, so the home field does work to the advantage of both of these two teams. They're structured somewhat similarly in terms of what they're able to do. Princeton, however, they have a very impressive offense. They come in with an overall average of 294, and they were just recently overtaken by Brown for the top hitting team in the Ivy League, and we'll get into those numbers a little bit later. On the hill for the Quakers this afternoon, they will start the senior right-hander, Bill Kirk. Bill Kirk from Haddon Heights, New Jersey, is going to be on the hill doing the duties for pitching for Penn, and on the opposite side for the Tigers, it's going to be Eric Stiller, a righty from Bryan, Texas. He's a junior, and we'll go over those numbers as the game approaches. The Penn Quakers are going to be occupying the newly named Bob Seddon dugout on the third base side. That was dedicated to their head coach yesterday at his farewell ceremony that took place between the two doubleheader games between this Penn team and the Princeton Tigers, and we will talk again, go into a little bit more what happened yesterday afternoon and how special a ceremony it was. So Penn will be coming out of the Bob Seddon dugout on the third base side, and on the first base side, the Princeton Tigers wearing their white uniforms with Princeton spelled out in black letters across the front, bordered by orange, with their numbers in black and trimmed with orange front and back. They're wearing the black T-shirt underneath the cutoff top jersey and black socks with a black cap as well, with a PA on the front. For the Penn Quakers, multicolored uniforms today. White pants with blue pinstripes, blue socks, a blue cap with a Penn P on the front, and a red mesh jersey with Penn spelled out across the front in red, bordered by white, blue numbers bordered by white, front and back. So Penn and Princeton, this has been the rivalry, as it has been in so many sports, particularly basketball, but in baseball as well. These two teams usually vie for the top spot in the Lou Gehrig division, and Penn, this time last week, Brian, boy, what a difference a week makes, because Penn, coming into this week, they were on a seven-game skid, but then they opened up the bats and blasted St. Joseph's 14-3 on Wednesday the 13th of April. And that gave them a big injection of energy coming into this weekend set against the Princeton Tigers. And for Penn, that win against St. Joseph's that we did, a very solid win, taking 11-run lead and protected throughout. And the Quakers really needed a win like that, I think, to get some breathing room and separation from their opponents, because prior to that, and what we have seen since, there have been a lot of one-run, two-run, three-run games for the Penn Quakers. So it was nice for them to have a nice little cushion to work with and play somewhat relaxed going into an all-important weekend.
Yes, and that weekend did definitely give them some confidence, and it showed through yesterday, because even though they didn't play a close game against St. Joe's, definitely that game allowed some of their top players who had been struggling, specifically out of the bullpen, to come in and have solid outings. And that opportunity against St. Joe's for guys like Joe Thornton, Nick Francona, to get good outings after having struggled earlier, gave them a chance to go in with some confidence, and the bullpen definitely came through in the second game yesterday.
And for the Penn Quakers, we're talking about that seven-game losing streak, and it wasn't just the fact that they lost seven games, because earlier on in the year they lost 10 straight to start the 2005 campaign, but that really didn't matter too much because it was all out of conference, whereas the recent seven-game losing streak, that came a very, very costly quartet of losses against Harvard, two games against them, and then against Brown, and also on top of that, Yale to boot. So that's six losses to conference opponents, and that really set the Penn Quakers back a little bit after they had a very strong outing against Dartmouth heading into that Harvard Crimson series. And Dartmouth was a team that finished with the best overall record in the regular season back in 2004 in that spring in the Ivy League, but they lost some big bats as well and could not maintain that momentum going into this year. But so far, it seems like Harvard, they certainly have a very solid squad. And taking a look at how Princeton fared against them, they took the first game back on Sunday, April the 10th, 7-2. That was at Cambridge. And the second one they lost 13-8. So they split there. And it'll be, I guess it's an interesting way to look at a barometer going into today's game of how these two teams might match up and play against one another. But who knows, it could probably go either way. As we saw yesterday, the first game decided by 2 runs, 3-1, and the second one was taken by Penn, 5-4.
And an interesting note, in this game, the Tigers have their top-performing pitcher of the year, Eric Stiller, going on the mound. He's pitched 35 innings and has an ERA of 2.29, a 4-1 record, so he's been very successful at shutting down the opposition this year, and Quakers will need to get something off of him to have a chance at winning this game. So this is perhaps the Tigers' best shot at winning a game this weekend.
This afternoon, spotless skies, no clouds whatsoever. A nice light blue shining over Murphy Field as we get ready for the first pitch as the Senior Day ceremonies are just wrapping up. Wind blowing a little bit out to the east, pretty much straight away left center field off to the Delaware River. And we've seen a couple times how Penn players have used the wind pockets on this field to their advantage. Evan Sobel, who bats down the hole for Penn in the eighth spot, not the biggest power hitter, but we've seen him, particularly against Dartmouth, get in front of one. If pitches hang up there, and he can really hang one because he's a right-handed hitter, and pull it down the left side, and who knows, if it happens to change direction and start blowing out to right center, Penn has a ton of powerful left-handed hitters, the likes of Nate Mothy, Kyle Arbony, who just love to play that wind to their advantage, as we've seen them punch a few long balls over that right center field fence. The umpires for this afternoon, it is Dave Brzezinski behind home plate. Tom Beck will cover the bases for the men in blue this afternoon. And they are now watering the infield, so that's where we're expecting temperatures in and around 70, 75 degrees this afternoon when we get to maybe mid-afternoon by around 3 o'clock. Coming to Murphy Field today, I'd say temperatures were sitting right in around a very nice and comfortable 68 degrees. Certainly the warmest afternoon for Penn baseball on their final home weekend. And the Penn Quakers, as we said, doing a good job of using all the emotions surrounding this weekend to fuel their efforts yesterday. The fact that this will be the final series coached by Bob Seddon. This is his 34th year with baseball. 37 years in total of service here at Penn, as he was a soccer coach as well. As he bids West Philadelphia farewell for the regular season. Now, who knows how things may turn out with the postseason because, and this is just a hypothetical situation here, if the Penn Quakers do finish with the best record in the league, they will then host the Ivy League Championship Series, which is a best of three to determine who goes to represent the Ancient Eight in the NCAA tournament. That series is held for May 7th through the 8th. And the best team with the overall record here in the Ancient Eight will host that. That was the case with Dartmouth last year, but Princeton went right in and knocked off the Big Green to go to the dance. And Harvard right now, as I said, they not only have the best record in the Red Wolf division at 9-1 in conference, but that is the best mark in the entire conference as well. And overall, entirely on the season, they are 16-9, and that again is the best record. The worst belongs to Columbia. They are 3-26. However, their lone Ivy League win did come off the Penn Quakers back on Sunday, March the 26th, that game up in Morningside Heights. That Penn lost 4-2, a very close contest. Princeton still has to play the Columbia Lions. We'll now step aside for the playing of our national anthem, right back with the first pitch from Murphy Field as Penn and Princeton get ready to do battle in this Ivy League contest. Alongside Brian Lindy, I'm Brian Seltzer. We're now going to pause aside for the playing of our national anthem. From Murphy Field alongside Brian Lindy, I'm Brian Seltzer, and we are getting set for this afternoon's all-important Ivy League contest between the Penn Quakers and Princeton Tigers. Final two games of this four-game set played right here on the southeast corner of Penn's campus at Murphy Field. 330 down either side of the line on left and right field, 380 dead ahead center field, and around 350 to the power alleys in left and right center. The starting lineups now for the visiting Princeton Tigers. Leading off is Adam Prince, starting at second base. He'll be followed by, and I know Quaker fans are going to cringe to hear this name. You thought it was all over with basketball season, but that was not the case. Will Venable, the starting center fielder, hits second. Following him is Andrew Cellini in right field. Doing the cleanup duties for the Princeton Tigers is Ryan Eldridge, the designated hitter. Adam Balkin in the fifth hole in left field follows him. At third base, Sal Iacono hitting sixth. Seventh, Zach Wincoast, the catcher. The eighth spot belongs to Stephen Wendell, the first baseman, and rounding out the starting batting roster for the Princeton Tigers is Matt Becker, the shortstop. In the field for the Penn Quakers, left to right in the outfield, Alex Blagojevich, Nate Moffey, and Brian Graves, all seniors, grazing the outfield grass for the final time here at Murphy Field. Along the infield, Kyle Harmony gets a start at third. Evan Sobel is at shortstop. Andrew Becker, the second baseman. As we realize through our webcast, just an all-out impressive day by him. He went 3-for-3, including one tremendous home run to left center field. And at first base, another power hitter for this Penn team is Sean Abbott. Doing the catching today, Matt Horn, the senior, and he will be receiving the pitches of Bill Kirk, the senior right-hander from Haddon Heights, New Jersey. This is his eighth appearance, sixth start. He's 2-2 overall with a 5.10 ERA. He's pitched in 30 innings, allowed 18 runs, 17 earned, struck out 22, walked 13, and the one, I guess, shaky point about Bill Kirk is his tendency to hit batters with the baseball. He has 12 on the season in a single game against Dartmouth. He beans 6, so that is something that he will have to watch out for today, and it's usually with curve and breaking balls where he starts to run into problems. So again, leading off for the Princeton Tigers is Adam Prince, the second baseman, batting left.
And that'll be an interesting matchup because the Tigers are a team which strikes out a lot and does not walk very often. And Kirk, as a pitcher, does have a tendency to be somewhat wild. So it'll be interesting to see how that matches up. If there's one weakness to this Princeton lineup, they do strike out a lot and they don't get a lot of free passes.
And the first pitch is on the inside corner with a fastball for strike one to Aaron Prince, not Adam Prince. He swings at the second pitch, lofts it high to left field. Alex Blagojevich moves over a little bit to his right to make the play. One down here in the top of the first. That'll bring up Will Venable. Will Venable, the leading hitter, surprise, surprise, on this Princeton squad. Will, the senior from San Rafael, California, who hits left, This is his 25th appearance. He started all of them, hitting at .418, the best on this Princeton Tigers team. 41 hits. The first pitch of the lefty is just off the plate, a little bit inside of the fastball, for ball one. Again, behind home plate is Dave Brzezinski, and on the bases is Tom Beck. Kirk sets and the pitch, the 1-0, is off the plate a little bit outside this time. Two balls, no strikes. Kirk just missing with fastballs against Will Venable. Will Venable, slugging percentage of .684, leading the team. The most powerful hitter in the Ivy League, as Kirk, the third straight ball is high and outside. Will Venable leading the Ivy League in terms of batting average, runs scored. He's second in hits, the 3-0 on the way, and that misses down and inside. Bill Kirk has no part of Will Venable, who has a free pass with one down here on the top of the first. And that'll bring up Andrew Cellini. Left-handed hitting right fielder, Andrew Cellini, from Andover, Maryland, the junior. He is the second-best batter on this Princeton team at .417 and among the top three in the Ancient Eight. Will Venable, a threat to steal. He has 8 stolen bases on the year and 10 attempts as Bill Kirk steps off and fires back to check Will Venable.
Venable's just an all-around athlete. We've seen him do it in 2 sports, and it's not surprising that he's got some excellent speed and excellent range in center field, given that he does also play basketball, which requires a lot of athletic energy itself.
And the pitch is high and foul off the third base side to Andrew Cellini. The count is 0-1 to Andrew, with one down here in the top of the first. Cellini, 43 hits on the year. Top for the Tigers. He has 8 doubles, 4 home runs. Kirk sets the 0-1 on the way, and that paints the outside corner with a fastball for strike two so quickly. A good job by Kirk to get Andrew Cellini in the hole, 0-2. Cellini on the season does have 15 strikeouts. An honorable All-Ivy mention. Back in 2004, as Kirk, he checks Will Venable again. Always a thorn in whatever side of a Penn team that he plays. Counts 0-2 to Cellini. Horn sets up well outside, and Kirk serves. It's slammed back to the screen by Cellini. The count holds at no balls and 2 strikes. The left-handed hitting, right fielder. The Penn outfield playing straight away. Middle of the infield pretty much has their heels back against the outfield grass. Kirk steps off. Oh, a nice fake fire back to first. Goes off the glove of Sean Abbott, but no harm as it rolls back towards the mound. This Princeton Tigers team, they certainly pack a lot of power in their bats. Starting off with 3 straight left-hand hitters, they got Venable in a rundown. Abbott goes back to second here. Sobel chasing Will. Sobel fires back to Sean. Slipping is Will Venable, and Abbott catches up to him and tags him out. A great job by Billy Kirk, who somewhat, it looked like, nonchalantly fired back to first base. And they had Will Venable going as he started to lead towards second. Quickly had to reverse his steps. And Penn, the red and blue, caught him in a rundown, so 2 down here in the top of the first, and the count is 0-2 to Andrew Cellini.
Excellent play by Bill Kirk, very alert, and we'll just jump the gun there, took off too soon, and the Quakers nailed him.
He did start to go. So the count is 0-2 to Andrew Cellini. Horn again tries to go outside. Here's the pitch, swing ground ball to shortstop. Sobel with a stab, takes his time, fires across the diamond. It's a 1-2-3 inning for this Penn Quakers team here in the top of the first. No runs, no hits, none left on for the Princeton Tigers. Bottom of the first with Penn coming to bat, and they will face Eric Stiller, the junior right-hander from Bryan, Texas, this Princeton Tigers club. Eric Stiller on the season. This is his 7th appearance. All of them have been starts. He is 4-1 with a 2.29 ERA and 35.1 innings pitched. He's allowed 11 runs, 9 earned, struck out 34, and has only surrendered 8 walks. Just an impressive strikeout-to-walk ratio right there for the junior right-hander. He has had a win in his past 4 decisions, so he's pitching very, very well. His recent start came back on April the 10th against Harvard in the first game of that doubleheader. He took the win. That was his 4th on the year, and 5 1/3 inning pitched. He allowed 6 hits, 2 runs. They were both earned. 4 walks and just as many strikeouts. He did allow three doubles. This Penn team, very apt to taking a two-base hit. So we'll see how that works out.
And this, it is especially key for the Quakers to have not given up a run in the first inning to go in getting a chance with the game tied here, because if they had been down, it would have made it very hard to come in against a pitcher who's already done very well, having to score runs to even the game up. Super Quick, there's a chance to perhaps take the lead here and get some early swings without having to worry about catching up. So the solid performance by Bill Kirk in the first inning, picking off Will Venable, getting ground ball out and fly ball out, allowed the Quakers to get a chance to take the lead here.
Setting the defense behind Eric Stiller today in left field is Adam Balkin. Anchoring the defense in center is Will Venable. In the right field corner is Andrew Cellini. Left, right through the infield is Sal Iacono at third. Matthew Becker is at short. Aaron Price, is at second base. Stephen Wendell is at first. And Zach Wenkos is behind the plate. Alex Blagojevich leads things off for the Penn Quakers, the senior from Tampa, Florida, batting right, starting left field. His final game of the regular season here at the Murph. Stiller winds and fires the first pitch of the game. Is right over the heart of the plate with the fastball for strike one against Alex Blagojevich. Blagojevich comes into the game hitting a 261. He has started in all 91 contests for the Quakers. The 0-1 pitch on the way. Ground ball on the left side. Stabbed by the shortstop Becker. He goes across to retire Alex Blagojevich on two pitches. So the Penn Quakers trying to chink the armor somewhat of Eric Stiller, who has been dominant on the hill for the Princeton Tigers so far. Lowest ERA on the club with 2.29. Again, 4-1 after starting the season 0-1, taking wins in his last four appearances. At the plate is Kyle Armoney, the left-handed hitting former New Jersey native. He looks at strike one on the outside corner. Another fastball from Stiller. Kyle Armoney, a 317 hitter. And between last Wednesday against St. Joseph's and now, he's raised his average back above 300 as a line drive slices towards left center field. But coming in to make the play is Will Venable. And as you said, Brian, earlier, the speed and athleticism of Will coming to his advantage right there as he charges in to make the play. So two quick outs just on four pitches for Eric Stiller. That will bring up the big dog, Nate Maffey. Nate Maffey, the senior from Wallingford, Connecticut, batting left. He does throw right, hitting a 304 this season. The first pitch to him is strike one on the outside corner.
Thus far, the umpire has been pretty generous with the outside corner of the strike zone, and you definitely see Eric Stiller trying to take advantage of that.
The 0-1 is off the plate a little bit outside, so the count goes up to 1-1 to Nate Maffey. Nate Maffey trying to get that bat back in rhythm as he fans on a breaking ball down and inside. Quickly going the hole 1-2, so as good as Billy Kirk looked in the first inning, the top half. That is how exceptional Eric Stiller has appeared to be throwing here in the bottom half of the inning. The 1-2 on the way, swung on and smoked to right center. That's going to fall into the right field corner for a base hit. A deep single for Nate Maffey, and he is a two-out base runner here in the bottom of the first. So Nate Maffey, good job to get out in front of that ball that hung up over the plate and pull it fair down the right field line, and that brings up Brian Graves. Brian Graves, one of the hot hitters as of late for this Penn team, particularly over the last week, raising his average now to 294. After last weekend, he was just at around 270. Setting is Stiller, and he serves up the first pitch. It's a strike one on the outside corner. So Eric Stiller, pinpoint accuracy on the outside corner of the plate so far.
Some pitches that have not been put into play, he's thus far thrown six, five of them have been strikes.
Stiller sets, and he comes with the 1-2 as Graves lays off a fastball high and outside, counts a ball and a strike. The 1-1 pitch, and off speed, confuses Graves as he makes a big cut and no contact on a change down and away. So it goes to 1-2. Once again, Eric Stiller finds himself in control of the count. Wenko sets up outside. We'll see if they send Moffy. He goes 1-2 on the way, and it's ripped, but fouled down the left field line and out of play. So again, just like the single that Stiller gave up to Nate Moffy, that was a pitch that was just a little bit out in front of the plate. Graves was swinging far out in front of that one and hooked it foul down the left field line. Stiller sets the 1-2 again. Is just a little bit outside. It came in at the belt. 2 balls, 2 strikes. The count goes even to Brian Graves. Graves, the senior right fielder from Oakland, California. Back with a slightly open stance. Here's the 2-2, a short little dribbler to third. Sal Iacono is there to put it in his mitt and throws wide of the first base bag. It was wide to the right, and it pulled off Stephen Wendell. So Penn, they have 2 on with 2 down here in the bottom of the first. A good job by Brian Graves to hustle and get down the first baseline. And we saw back against St. Joseph's on Wednesday the 13th how Brian Graves, very aggressive on the base paths, tagging on several fly balls to get himself in scoring position. So we'll see what Sean Abbott, the big Penn power hitter who hits left, can do right here with 2 on and 2 down on the bottom of the first. Stiller sets. Here comes the pitch. Abbott chases the first one. A breaking ball down over the plate catches Abbott for strike one.
That said, the Quakers have to be aggressive in swinging early because Eric Stiller is not throwing that many balls, and otherwise we'll just fall behind in the count pretty quickly.
0-1, just beneath the knees over the middle of the plate. The count goes even at a ball and a strike to Sean Abbott. Sean Abbott hitting at 326. That leads the Penn Quakers. Here comes the 1-1. Good eye by Sean Abbott, taken above the letters of his jersey. 2 balls and 1 strike. Sean Abbott, the first baseman from Dumont, New Jersey. 29 hits on the year, 5 doubles, 4 long balls, as he takes ball 3 high and outside, so the count goes 3-1. So Stiller may be a little bit shooken up right here, because his command has fallen off the last 2 at-bats.
Crap, they spoke too soon about him getting ahead of the count.
3-1. Stiller sets. The righty serves up the 3-1, and that is a strike placed very well on the outside corner coming at the belt of Sean Abbott. So that runs the count full.
And the runners will be off with this pitch.
Moffy on second, Graves on at first. Here comes the payoff. Runners go swing and a miss on a nice breaking ball outside to catch Sean Abbott. So Eric Stiller avoids a jam. Penn leaves 2 stranded. No runs, 1 hit. An error committed by the Tigers, and they do leave 2 on base. We'll go to the top of the second inning. No score from Murphy Field between the Penn Quakers and Princeton Tigers. And one thing that we can look for today, Brian, it seems like already this game may have the signs of a pitcher's duel.
Definitely. The Quakes, though, that seems to be in danger just now with the count going to 3-2 here with runners in first and second, but then coming through under pressure, Eric Stiller was able to force a strikeout against Sean Abbott, and Zach Hay ended the inning with no damage done for the Tigers.
Taking a look at the coaching matchup for this afternoon for the Penn Quakers, Bob Seddon, his 35th year. He is 634 and 581 overall in his tenure in the dugout for the Quakers, now bearing his name. In the Ivy League, he's 127 and 208. Taken 5 NCAA titles, and he has been joined every step of the way by Bill Wagner, the pitching coach, and recently joining onto the staff was Ralph Rossler, who usually specializes in hitting. Seddon, 785 wins with Penn baseball and soccer. With the soccer team, he was 154-70, and 27 ties from 1968 through 1986, and after that season in 86, Seddon just stuck to baseball. We'll talk about Scott Bradley of Princeton in a second. Leading off is Eldridge as he unloads deep to center field, but Moffy is right there. Just has to take a couple steps back and to the right to retire for the Princeton Tigers. Ryan Eldridge, the designated hitter, so 1 down here on 1 pitch in the top of the second inning. And that's a big out right there because Eldridge, he provides a lot of punch at the plate. Eldridge on the season hitting at 333, and that brings up Adam Bolkin.
And Eldridge, also the Tigers' most dangerous power threat, he has 7 home runs and 24 RBIs, both of which lead the team.
Crowding the plate is Ryan, Adam Balkin. As he shows bunt, it goes off the top of the barrel and back to the screen. No balls and a strike. A lot of lefties, a lot of left-handed hitters on this Princeton Tigers team. Take a look at Adam Balkin, the senior from Roslyn, New York, hitting a 274 on the year, a veteran leader, leading by example and by play on the field as well. Hit at 345 one season ago. That was the top among the returning Tigers players. The 0-1 pitch is smashed high and deep to left center field. Blagojevich has a great beat on it. Good read by Alex to retire Adam Balkin.
A close play by Blagojevich. The wind seems to move the ball up in the air there. And he hesitated for a second, but got himself in position and made the grab. No damage done.
A right-handed hitter for a change for this Princeton Tigers team as Sal Iacono comes to the plate. Sal Iacono, the sophomore from Staten Island, New York. Hitting a 216. Kirk serves the first pitch, and it's taken. One hop to Sobel at short. He blocks it down with his chest and sidearm swings the throw across the diamond to make it once again a 1-2-3, 3-up, 3-out inning for Billy Kirk and the Penn Quakers. So, both these pitchers, for Bill Kirk in that inning, he only hurled four to the plate, and he gets out two fly balls and one in the infield. The Penn defense getting the job done, and that has been a constant for the Quakers so far in this 2005 campaign.
And there, Sean Abbott definitely deserves some credit for making that grab. The throw is not the most on-target throw. The ball bounced in front of Evan Sobel. He had to regroup and get the throw off quickly. It was a bit wide, but Sean Abbott reached out, made the grab, and ended the inning.
We talked a little bit about Bob Seddon in the previous half inning as we work our way to the bottom of the second with no score at Murphy Field. Scott Bradley is in his eighth season with the Princeton Tigers. He is 185 and 162 overall. And for him, well, he's done a pretty fine job out in Princeton as the Tigers have prevailed to the Gehrig title in all eight seasons that Bradley has been around. They took the 2004 Ivy League crown overall. That is their fourth in the past five seasons, and he's been responsible, Scott Bradley has, for recruiting a class of 2004 that amassed 99 wins in a four-year period. That is the most in Princeton Tiger history, and he has led the Orange and Black to two of the program's three NCAA wins. He himself had a nice playing career. He had around 257 in just around 1,650 at-bats in the major leagues, 184 RBIs and 18 home runs. He caught Randy Johnson's first no-hitter with the Seattle Mariners, so how about that for Scott Bradley? In 1981, he was a second-round pick for the New York Yankees, and the first pitch of the inning to Spencer Whitty, the designated hitter, hitting right, is up high and away, and Brian Lindy. Here's a trivia question for you. Who was the first round pick of the New York Yankees in that draft? As Spencer Whitty slaps one to second base the opposite way, Aaron Prince fields and puts it in the glove of his first baseman, Stephen Wendell. So here's a trivia question. Who was the first round pick of the New York Yankees in the 1981 draft? Scott Bradley, the Princeton head coach, was taken second.
Was it Mattingly?
It was not Mattingly. And here's a little hint. It follows a similar storyline to that of Drew Henson. At the plate for Penn is Matt Horn, the right-handed hitting catcher. He takes ball one up high and away. So think Drew Henson, and you might be able to put your finger on who the first-round pick was in the New York Yankees back in 1981.
And I miss being a Yankee fan, and I still don't know it.
Counts 1-0 to Matt Horn. He awaits from Stiller, and that is on the outside edge for strike one. It's even up to one ball and a strike. On the season, Matt Horn, a 323 hitter, as Stiller misses off the plate outside. Two balls and a strike. Matt Horn hitting at a blistering pace to start the year. He came back from California hitting about 400. He cooled a little bit as he sends that one to short. Dechter puts in his glove, and across the mound he goes to retire Matt Horn.
You said it looks like this is definitely of the makings of a pitching duel here, and again, both. Again, both pitchers being quite effective in getting out with very few pitches.
So Matt Horn retired, and that paves the way for Evan Sobel, the right-handed hitting shortstop from Rancho Palos Verdes, California, as he looks at ball one just off the outside corner. So again, Eric Stiller, the starter for Princeton, trying to send it over the outside. Here's the 1-0 on the way to Sobel. And again, that one misses. Says home plate umpire Dave Brzezinski. 2-0 is a count to Evan Sobel. Here comes a pitch, high and outside. Three straight balls tossed by Eric Stiller on the season. Evan Sobel hitting at an even 2-2-2, his 30th start. And that's how many games Penn has played this season.
He does lead the team. He does have 11 walks however on the season.
A 3-0
not the team lead, but still significant, half as many hits as he does pass.
3-0 pitch was on the inside corner for strike one, and Stiller jams him on the knuckles inside. Back behind the second base bag drifts Matt Becker. He flashes some leather to retire the side for Penn. So Princeton reciprocates with a 1-2-3 inning of their own. We'll go to the top of the third with no score. The Quakers, no runs, no hits, none left in that inning. They did have two on two outs back in the bottom of the first, but they could not plate a run. So the answer to that trivia question, who the first-round pick of the New York Yankees was in that 1981 draft, was John Elway, who went on to become the quarterback of the National Football League Denver Broncos. And Scott Bradley was taken in the second round that year. And just to round out Scott Bradley's tenure in the major leagues, he played with the Yankees, the Chicago White Sox, the Seattle Mariners, and 1 year in the National League with the Cincinnati Reds. So Bill Kirk going to work in his third inning.
John Elway was probably a bit less costly to the Yankees than Drew Henson was.
Perhaps. So taking a look at Bill Kirk, as we said, he came into this game with a 2-2 average, an ERA of 5.10. His last start came on April the 9th at Brown in the first game. It was a no decision in which he pitched six flat innings, seven hits, two runs, both of them earned allowed, no walks, two strikeouts, two wild pitches, and two hits Batman. His last win came on April the 4th, right here at Murphy Field against Dartmouth in the first game of a doubleheader. He did pitch one inning, two hits allowed, no runs surrendered. He pitched in 4 2/3 innings, five hits allowed with three earned runs, three walks, and six strikeouts. Leading off for the Princeton Tigers is Zach Wenkos. He swings in the first pitch and sends it high and out of play on the first base side, so 0-1 is the count to Zach Wenkos.
And thus far, Kirk, who, as we've said earlier, was plagued by hits batsmen, has shown very good control.
The 0-1 pitch, a curveball, misses a little bit high above the shoulders for a ball and a strike to Zach Wenkos. Zach Wenkos on the air, 325 hitter. Building a big bat, the 1-1 comes in for ball two just off the inside. Two balls and a strike to Zach Wenkos. Zach, 27 hits on the year. Four of them for doubles. Pitch on the way. It's pounded high in the air. Foul on the left side. Kyle Armey drifts over to the fence and watches it sail on the pavement, the off-ramp here at Murphy Field. Count evens up at 2-2 to Zach Wenkos. Zach Wenkos, a tremendous turnaround from the previous spring in 2004 after he hit at just 190. And this year, as I said, in 25 games, his average up at around 325. Curveball inside and tight. 3-2. First full count work by Billy Kirk. He's retired the Princeton Tigers 1-2-3 in the top of the first and second. Swinging a ground ball, chopped down the third base side. Stabbed by Armey. Strong throw across and a good scoop by Abbott, but it gets underneath him. And rounding first and taking second is Zach Wenkos. A tough play for Armey to make all around. Not only did he make a diving grab and took a stab on the third base side, but he then had to make a very powerful throw across the infield, which did not reach in time. So they will charge the error to Kyle Armey, and that puts Zach Wenkos on second with none out here in the top of the third. Stephen Wendell at the plate. Hitting right, playing first base. 278 hitter on the air. The first pitch to him is down and out for a ball. Stephen Wendell, the junior from Charleston, South Carolina. Straight up stance. And the second pitch is ripped the opposite way, but foul down the right field side.
And yes, they gave an error there to Kyle Armoney, but if he doesn't make the dive and stop that ball, that's easily a double. So perhaps an error, which I guess there's no other way to score it, but he definitely deserves some credit for not letting it be a double outright.
1-1 is a count to Stephen Wendell. Hitting right, playing at first base. Stepping off is Kirk as he swings the throw back to second to try and check Zach Wenkos. The Quakers already have caught one idle runner on the base paths, and that was Will Venable, who reached on a walk back in the top of the first. Here's the 1-1 on the way, and he jammed him inside. A high fly ball, foul on third base side. That's an easy play for Kyle Armoney after he made the diving stop on the previous ball put in play. So one down here in the top of the third. Matt Becker in the nine hole.
An important add, especially in the fact that it does not let Zach Wenkos get down to third base, which very often happens on balls put in play, especially grounders in that situation.
So he's on the top half of this Princeton order hitting from the left side of the plate. The bottom half does it from the right as the first pitch comes in well outside and off the plate to Matt Becker. 1-0 is the count to him. Matt Becker, the junior from Altaloma, California, is a switch hitter. Hitting right in the setback, hitting at just 203. Kirk sets and serves the 1-0 on the way. In the air, high and foul on the first base side to the screen, but Horn sliding as it hits off the steps of the Princeton dugout. And Horn takes a little bit of a spill, but he slid just in time to break a serious fall. So he's okay. A very nice crowd on hand here at Murphy Field applauding his efforts on this senior day, also a day in which the Penn Baseball Hall of Fame class of 2005 will be inducted. That will occur between innings. Games. Between games as well, an interview with David Schwartz, the father of freshman right-hander Stephen Schwartz, who will possibly see some action maybe in this game or out of the bullpen in the second as the third pitch of the at-bat of Matt Becker comes in high over the plate for ball two. 2-1. Kirk serves the 2-1 pitch, and the curve can't make the inside corner. So ahead in the count is Matt Becker, 3-1. He is the 9-hitter, so Kirk wants to come at him aggressively. I think it's just 2-0-3 on the year. Here's a 3-1 from Kirk. An off-speed pitch. Can't catch the inside. So Becker is aboard on first. They have Wenkos at second. That turns over the order for a very dangerous Princeton lineup and brings Aaron Prince to the plate. Second walk of the game for Billy Kirk. Aaron Prince flied out to left field, his first time up in the top of the first inning. 259 hitter, batting from the left side. Getting the start at second today, first pitch to him. And again, Kirk, these balls that have been called have not been missing by much, but it has been the consistent strike zone of Dave Brzezinski today. But Kirk, just a little bit off as he serves a ball one inside. Left-handed hitting Aaron Prince. Here's the second pitch, and it's ripped to the hole on the right side of the infield and through for a base hit. Rounding third and coming in is Wenkos. The play at the plate is not in time, so Princeton takes an early 1-0 lead here in the top of the third with one down. An RBI single for Aaron Prince. For him, that is his 8th ribby of the year and 29th hit. A little bloop single that was, just past the outstretched glove of Andrew Becta. That'll be good for an RBI. It advances Matt Becker all the way around the horn to third. And as I said, scoring was Zach Wenkos.
And that brings up the most dangerous hitter, perhaps, in the Tigers lineup. Certainly one of them, Will Venable, with one out and runners in first and third. So key at bat here for Billy Kirk if he wants to keep the Quakers in this game.
Venable hitting left as Kirk steps off and sends a throw back to first base to check Aaron Prince. Will Venable on the year, as you said, very dangerous. He has 20 RBIs. The pitch goes in, and it's poked high in the air, foul on the left field side. So the count is 1-1 to Will Venable, the senior center fielder. 0-1, excuse me, is the count. Kirk sets, runner on the corners. He steps off, makes a throw back to third, and they have Prince in a rundown. They have to keep their eye on Becker at third, and they get Aaron Prince on the base pads. So once again, a Princeton base runner commits a little bit too much. The second time that Penn has swiped one from the Tigers on the base pads. It was a great job by Kirk to fake the throw down at third as Becker was there, and then to turn around and fire back to first where they had Aaron Prince, who started leading his way toward second base. So the count is 1-1 to Will Venable. Horn sets up outside. Here's a 1-1 pitch. It's up high and tight. And
psychologically, it can't hurt for the Quakers that Will Venable, who's at the plate right now, made the same mistake last inning and has to be reminded of that as he is preparing for his own at-bat.
1-1 on the way from Kirk to Venable. Ball two misses just off the plate at the knees. Outside. Two balls and a strike is the count to Will Venable. And the pitcher on the way, check swing. Will did not commit, so a cautious eye from him earns him a 3-1 count. He walked back in the top of the first and was caught in the base pads trying to steal. 3-1 pitch from Kirk is swung on and smashed high. A towering fly ball right side of the infield. Charging in is Sean Abbott underneath to make the play. So Penn, they do yield a run. They do so on two hits. However, the damage could have been much worse from that, and a good job by Billy Kirk, his heads-up defensive play to pick off Aaron Prince, and then to come back to jam Will Venable in on the fists on the right side of the infield to get the Quakers out of what could have been a very threatening situation.
Yes, and the pickoff is definitely huge in changing the momentum back in the Quakers' favor. What was a potentially very dangerous situation then became a two-out situation with the one guy on. Yes, the runner was still on third, but it took away at least some threat of a second run scoring off a ground ball or something like that, and allowed the Quakers to get an easy pop-up out.
And for Billy Kirk, that will not be an earned run docked against him since Zach Wincos reached on the error from Kyle Armoney. So the score is 1-0 as we head into the bottom half of the third inning. Penn will turn over the lineup this half, as Andrew Becker will lead things off. He'll be followed by Alex Blagojevich and Kyle Armoney. The Quakers just looking to keep it close and wait patiently at the plate against Eric Stiller, who came into the game with a 2.29 ERA. Taking a look at this Princeton Tigers team this year, they started their season with a scary slip to 9 straight losses while taking a tour through Virginia and North Carolina. They had 2 1-run losses at Richmond to begin the year. They dropped 3 in a row to William & Mary in Williamsburg, and they were pummeled in Chapel Hill by the North Carolina Tar Heels in 2 games, and then trounced 18-2 at Old Dominion before taking the next 2 games to stop that 9-grain slide. Since then, the season storyline has followed a path of a sine curve with a lot of peaks and a lot of valleys, so to speak. They prevailed in the next 9-11 games and joined a 6-game winning streak after that 9-game skid. However, following that, they're just 2-6 entering this afternoon. Leading off is Andrew Pector for the Penn Quakers. The sophomore second baseman hits at 229. This is his 18th appearance and 14th start. First pitch of the inning from Stiller as Pector hits for ball one inside of the jersey. Andrew Pector awaits the second pitch, and Stiller again just misses off the outside. A very stingy strike zone for home plate umpire Dave Brzezinski. The 1-1 on the way as Pector puts one to the hot corner. Nice stop by Sal Iacono, a strong throw across the mound. We'll retire Andrew Pector, and for Eric Stiller, he is a very good ground ball pitcher. So far today, there have been 4 outs coming off the infield grass. And with one down here in the bottom of the third, and the score 1-0 in Princeton's favor, that'll bring up Alex Blagojevich, who grounded out to the left side of the infield as well, to shortstop Matthew Becker, his first time up. Blagojevich had a good game against LaSalle back on April the 6th, in which he had 2 hits. He takes ball, strike one. It was a fastball that came in around his midsection on the outside corner. 0-1 is the count to Blagojevich.
And Joe Brzezinski has definitely been more generous on the outside calls than the inside calls for the strike zone.
The breaking ball misses down and away, 1 ball and a strike, and that's the way Dave Brzezinski, we've seen him a couple times this year, that's how he's called his games. so far in this 2005 baseball year. Wenko sets up outside. Fastball's up high at the helmet of Blagojevich on the outside. Two balls and a strike. Alex had a season high four hits back on March 25th against Columbia in the first game of that doubleheader. As he takes ball three inside and off the plate, coming at the waist. So again, both Kirk and Stiller have done a great job of getting the ball over the plate, but they've just been missing by a little bit. Their ball's just missed. 3-1, it is high in the air to the left side, shallow left center field. Drifting back is a shortstop, Becker. He's being called off by Adam Balkin, the left fielder, who does register the out, the second of the inning for the orange and black. So Alex Blagojevich is 0-2. And that brings up Kyle Armoney. He is 0-1, flied out to left center field his first time up. The left-handed hitting third baseman takes the first pitch down and in the dirt at the shoelaces.
And that ball nearly did drop in, but again, we saw the great athleticism of Will Venable prevent a hit on that play.
And the pitch is nubbed foul on the third base side. So a ball and a strike is a count to Kyle Armoney. Kyle Armoney, on this senior day in which Penn says farewell to 12 of their members of the class of 2005, Kyle Armoney, a bright spot for the future of this Penn team, as he pokes it off the end of his bat and fell on the left side. Kyle Armoney, again, he's batting at 317 last week. He came into this week hitting at just 297, and that was a drop-off from the way he had been performing, so good to see him get his numbers back up. Here's the 1-2, and it's ripped on the right side of the infield. Diving to make the stop is Wendell. Throw to Stiller covering, and that retires a side for the red and blue. No runs, no hits, no errors, no runners stranded. Top of the fourth with the score 1-0 in favor of the Princeton Tigers here at Murphy Field.
And no runs, no hits, no base runners allowed the last two innings for Eric Stiller, showing why he's been so dominant this entire season.
3-1 was the play to end the inning. And taking a look at Eric Stiller's numbers on the year, we talked about how his last start came against Harvard out in Cambridge in the first game of a doubleheader that he won in that contest for the Tigers, who took the game 7-2. They knocked off a very, very hot Harvard team. That's their lone Ivy League loss, and it came behind Eric Stiller. So he is a phenomenal hurler for this Tigers squad. However, the one anomaly when you look at his line over the course of the season came back on the 13th of March at William & Mary. It was a no decision in which Stiller pitched four innings. He allowed nine hits, six runs. That's a season high. Four of them were earned. No walks and five strikeouts for Eric Stiller. So Penn trying to put up some similar numbers, some similar success against Mr. Stiller this afternoon. But they're going to have to wait and try and work their way through the meat of this Princeton order. Due up are their 3, 4, and 5 hitters, all of whom have been hitting very well so far in 2005. Andrew Cellini leads off. He grounded out to Evan Sobel at shortstop back in the top of the first. The first pitch on the way, swinging and sent back to the screen off the left side of the plate. No balls and a strike to Andrew Cellini. He was down in the hole 0-2 in his previous at-bat before he recorded the last out of the first. Princeton a run across. It was unearned. But it was a tough play for Kyle Armoney to make. That's who the error was charged to. The 0-1 on the way. Off the plate, a little bit high and outside. Count goes to a ball and a strike to Andrew Cellini, the right fielder. Kirk winds. Here comes a 1-1 swing and a miss. Good hitch right there from Billy Kirk to come right at Cellini, who swung at a fastball and couldn't catch up to it. 1-2 once again. Kirk looking to get Cellini's number.
There are some radar guns that we see directly in front of us. Looks like there may be some scouts here interested in viewing Eric Stiller.
The 1-2 is lofted high and foul on the left side and out of play. So that holds things up in a ball and two strikes. Andrew Cellini, end of the weekend, top of the conference with 43 hits. 1-2, the count to him. Kirk gets his sign, winds, fires in high and away. Can't even jump 2-2. Andrew Cellini. He has a team-high 8 doubles. Coming on the year when he's sitting at 417, the Andover, Massachusetts native, lofts another one off the plate on the left side. Count holds, 2 balls, 2 strikes. The count is even to Cellini. Hit at 344 last year, so that was as a sophomore. The numbers keep improving for Andrew Cellini. 2 balls and 2 strikes is the count to him. Kirk nods to the sign and delivers the 2-2. Just missing. Up high and away.
And last inning, too, there were a lot of at-bats that went deep into counts, so the Quakers are going to have to watch Billy Kirk's pitch count if the at-bats continue to go to full counts with foul balls and the pitch count gets up there.
The 3-2 misses down and in at the thighs, so taking first base is Andrew Cellini. 3 walks allowed so far by Billy Kirk, however, he has yet to hit a batter. And that brings up Ryan Eldridge, the left-handed hitting designated hitter. And he is really the perfect designated hitter role, just coming in and putting up power numbers, hitting at 333 coming into the year. As Kirk steps off and throws back to first, impressive in that stat is the fact that he did not spend 2004 with the team, took a year off from school. As the pitch comes in off the outside corner for strike one with a fastball from Billy Kirk. 0-1 is a count to Eldridge. Eldridge flying out to center field his first time up. The 0-1 misses off the plate a little bit outside. A ball and a strike. However, before Eldridge took his break, he batted 303 back in 2003. Kirk says, here's the 1-1, swung on, and back to the screen it goes, nearly hits Eldridge on the helmet as it deflected back to the infield. So 1-2 is the count. No doubts here in the top of the fourth inning. The first game of this doubleheader will last 7 complete innings, barring extra inning play with the tie. The second one is 9 innings. We have both here on PennAthletics.com as Kirk steps off and throws back to first base, trying to keep leadoff runner Andrew Cellini in check. He reached on a walk. The 1-2 on the way to Eldridge, lined right to short, Sobel with the stab, throws back to first, it's off the helmet of Cellini, and it goes past the right field line into foul territory, which will allow Cellini to speed into second base and find himself in scoring position with one down here in the top of the fourth inning. Error committed to Evan Sobel on the throw.
Kind of a tough break for Sobel. It was a good throw, but unfortunately the runner was in the way.
For the senior Evan Sobel, that's his 9th error on the year. And that brings up Adam Balkin, the left fielder, hitting left. His first time up, flight out to left center field. Pitch off the plate outside. Nice frame job by Horn, but he did not convince Dave Brzezinski. 1-0 the count with Cellini on second, reaching on the air from Sobel. The pitch up above the belt, over the middle of the plate, 4-2. Quickly, 2 balls and no strikes to Adam Balkin. Kirk sets, looks Cellini back at second, pitch on the way. Missing inside of the shins, a little bit low. 3 balls and no strikes to Adam Balkin. And Kirk, he has tossed a lot of balls so far. However, they have been very, very close to Dave Brzezinski's strike zone. He sets, here's a 3-0 pitch on the way to Balkin. And it's a strike one on the inside corner. A good pitch by Billy Kirk. Pinpoint accuracy there from the senior right-hander making his last start here at Murphy Field. 3-1 is the count to Balkin. Here it comes on the way. Swung on, jammed him inside. High lofting fly ball to right center field, dropping quickly. Graves with a snow cone catch down to the shoelaces. And that is the second half of the inning. We'll make that the third as they tag up Andrew Cellini, who was sure it was going to fall into right center field, for a base hit. So a mistake on the base pads from Andrew Cellini results in the 9-6 double play. And that will retire the side for the orange and black here at the top of the fourth inning. 1-0, they have the lead as we go to the bottom of the fourth. No runs, no hits. An error for Penn, and none left on base for the Princeton Tigers.
And that's the third base running error we've seen from Princeton today. Clickers have gotten three outs just off the base pass, and that's one of the reasons why the score is still what it is.
And you make a great point right there that in games that get so tight and close like this one, it's only 1-0, and Penn and Princeton, they have been wont to play very close games decided by very few runs. Those are the type of things that could come back to haunt you if you're Princeton and Penn has a very strong inning, which they will look to do as we work our way to the bottom of the fourth inning. Do up for Penn, just like Princeton had that inning. It's the heart of their order. Talking a little bit about the close contests that the Tigers have played in throughout this 2005 campaign, they've taken a ton of games out of the wire. They've compiled a 6-8 record in games decided by a deficit of three or fewer runs. Taking a look at the games decided by three runs, Princeton has no wins, they have a loss. Two runs, they are 1-1. One-run games, they are 5-6. So two of those games coming yesterday as they lost to Penn 3-1 in the first game of a doubleheader, and then 5-4 in the second. Nate Moffey, the big dog, leads things off on the left side for the Penn Quakers. He lined into right center for a base hit his first time up. And Eric Stiller, in his fourth inning of work, serves up a very good-looking ball one at the knees to Nate Moffey. The Caps 1-0 to Nate. Second pitch, as Stiller comes back off speed with the change on the inside, that fools Moffey as he committed and could not make contact. 1-1 is the count to Nate Moffey. Stiller quickly working, sets the 1-1. It's lined to short, one hop, stopped by Becker. He comes across the infield to retire Nate Moffey. 6-3 on the scoring, and that will bring up Brian Graves.
A lot of ground ball outs the last few innings for the Quakers.
Stiller staring down Graves, who awaits the first pitch of this at-bat. It comes in, up high and a little bit outside. 1-0. Brian Graves reached his first time up on an error as the second pitch is down low and away, collecting some dust. Two balls and no strikes. Here comes a 2-0, and Graves rips one over a leaping Matthew Becker into left center field for Penn's second hit of the game, and with one out, he is aboard as the Quakers' lone base runner, and that leads the way for Sean Abbott, who struck out swinging his first time up.
Sean Abbott, who has a top batting average on this team at .326 coming into the game, is probably the guy the Quakers want up right now to perhaps get a base hit here and help the Quakers even this one up.
First pitch to him is a breaking ball down and inside at the cleats, a ball and no strikes as the count to Sean Abbott. So with one down and Brian Graves on first base, this is where Penn trying to take a run at Eric Stiller, who is a shutdown hurler. Graves a large lead, and Abbott unloads deep to right center field, way back to the wall, and well gone for Sean Abbott. Sean Abbott puts Penn up top 2-1 here in the bottom of the fourth. And for the junior from Dumont, New Jersey, he just drilled his fifth home run of the season. Oh, did he get a hold of that one?
Yeah, he's facing right-handed pitcher, left-handed batter, just saw the pitch he wanted and took it straight out onto the on-ramp, I think.
Will Venable had a great look at that one go over the fence as Penn is now ahead 2-1. And that's when it'll be interesting now, very interesting to see how this game closes and how those base running mistakes for Princeton come into play. At the plate is Spencer Whitty. He looks at ball one off the plate outside. And for Spencer Whitty, he takes ball two. And for Eric Stiller, the second home run he served up this season. 2-0 on the way as Whitty whacks one foul on the first place side. Eric Stiller. He's now, with that home run, only given up 8 extra base hits on the year. 6 of them have been for doubles. 2 have left the building. 2-1 is a count to Spencer Whitty, the senior from Nyack, New York. He takes a cut straight back to the screen.
And Whitty struggled a bit of late, something he'd definitely like to turn around today. His average has fallen below 200. It's now at 197, and he would definitely like to get that back up.
Looking for a game like he had against LaSalle back on April the 6th when he went 1-for-3, scored 2 runs and a walk. 2-2 on the way, Whitty on the ground to third over the glove of Sal Iacono and in the left field for a base hit. So Spencer Whitty on cue, Mr. Lindy, puts one in play into left field. So Penn, another base runner, still one down here in the bottom of the fourth. The Quakers are ahead 2-1. That brings up Matt Horn. So for the Quakers, 3 consecutive connections. Matt Horn, ball 1 down and away. And Matt Horn, he did struggle mid-season for the Penn Quakers at times with his average going below 200, but he's brought it well back above to 323. The pitch on the way is Horn clobbers one high in the air to shallow center field, coming down behind the second base bag, and there to make the play is Matthew Becker for the second out of the inning. A good job by Stiller to regain some composure and force Matt Horn into a flyout. Evan Sobel, the shortstop who hits right, standing in for the Penn Quakers. He flied out to shallow left center his first time up as he takes a hack and puts in the air foul on the right side. No balls and a strike is the count to Evan Sobel. Evan had a pair of singles against Yale back on April the 10th in the second game of a doubleheader, looking at that kind of output today. Nice curveball comes over the plane of the plate for Eric Stiller. Strike 2 to Evan. He's down. No balls and 2 strikes. Stiller sets, and with Whitty on first, delivers. Check swing by Sobel. Whitty is running as the ball got away from Wenkos, and safe at second with a steal is Spencer Whitty. A good job by him to see the ball squirt through the 5-hole of Wenkos. And for Spencer Whitty, that is his first stolen base of the season. Well, they're going to officially rule it a pass ball, so take that one away from Spencer. But he's in the scoring position with 2 down. The 1-2 is Sobel. He slaps it to the hole on the right side for a base hit. Woody's being waved around. A relay throw to the plate from Cellini to home, and he's safe. Wenkos couldn't apply the tag, and Penn is now up 2, 3-1.
Good base running by Spencer Whitty to get around the tag and get himself home to give the Quakers a 2-run edge.
I think he made it a little bit closer than third base coach Billy Wagner would have liked it, but the aggressive base running of the Penn Quakers coming up large right there, giving them a 2-run cushion, 3-1 here in this 3-run bottom of the fourth.
And on that, Evan, so we'll get down to second base as well.
Credit Evan Sobel for the RBI, and that brings up Andrew Becta hitting in the 9-hole. He grounded out to third his first time up, but Becta, we saw him go 3-for-3 against St. Joseph's, he can add a lot to this Penn lineup from the 9-hole. Count 0-1 to him, and the pitch on the way, a curveball on the inside corner for strike 2. 0-2 is a count to Becta, trying to keep this 3-run bottom of the fourth alive, and the pitch chases a breaking ball low and away, and that will do it for the red and blue in a very significant bottom of the fourth where they put up 3 runs courtesy of a 2-run shot of Sean Abbott. And then they chipped away with 2 down as Evan Sobel socked a RBI single into right field to put Penn ahead by 2. 3-1 is the score. That's how many runs they put up in the inning. They did so on 4 hits, no errors, and 1 left on base. That was Evan Sobel. For Stiller, that is his second strikeout of the game. He has come by both of them swinging.
And that brings up the 6, 7, and 8 lineup for part of the lineup for Princeton. Sal Iacono, their baseman, Zach Wenkos, the catcher, and Stephen Wendell, the first baseman.
And for Bill Kirk, it will be nice to have a two-run lead to work with. That relieves a lot of the pressure, but again, by no means, we do not want to give the impression that the Princeton Tigers, by any stretch of the imagination, are out of this contest whatsoever. We still have the 5th, 6th, and 7th to play, and that will bring up the heart of their order at least one more time, where they have four players batting above 325. So very strong are they at the plate. But the Penn Quakers have done a great job. The Princeton Tigers, they average per game 5.2 runs, and Penn has kept them beneath that, allowing them four runs yesterday in the second game of a doubleheader, and one in the first, as swinging on the first pitch was Sal Iacono, as he tears one foul down the left field line, and out of play. Sal Iacono was up at the plate, back in the top of the second, grounded out to Evan Sobel at shortstop. Setting is Kirk, and the 0-1 on the way. Sal Iacono takes strike two on the inside corner. Good job by Kirk to come his way inside and put it right in the corner. 0-2 is the count to Sal Iacono. Crouches down real low. The righty tees one off high to left center field. Nate Moffey works to his right, comes over, and squeezes the mitt to retire Sal Iacono for the second time this afternoon. Zach Wenkos, he has scored the lone run for this Princeton Tigers team, steps up the plate. He was the one that ripped into a ground ball that bounded down to third base. It was stabbed by Kyle Armoney behind the bag, but he just could not come up with a good throw, which resulted in an error and put Zach Wenkos on first. He eventually came around to score on an RBI single from Aaron Prince. Second pitch on the way is inside. Two balls and no strikes to Zach Wenkos. Kirk approves the sign, and here comes the 2-0 on the way, and that's whacked to third and over the glove this time of a diving Kyle Armoney. He lunged to his left, but couldn't come up with it as Zach Wenkos reaches base for the second time this afternoon. Third hit of the day for the Princeton Tigers in this first game of the doubleheader. Stephen Wendell, the first baseman, standing in, flied out in foul territory on the left side of Kyle Armoney's first time up. One down for Princeton here, top of the fifth. Curveball comes inside of the waist for Stephen Wendell. Stephen Wendell hitting right. And on the year, he bats at 278. He takes that one into center field for a hit. And that moves the runner, Zach Wenkos, up to second. So Princeton now showing a little bit of a threat, trying to respond to the Red and Blues 3-1 bottom of the fourth. So two straight singles posted by Princeton. And that brings up Matthew Becker. Good job by the Tigers, bottom hitters in the seventh and eighth spot, to keep this inning alive and try and bring the top half of the order up. At the plate, Matt Becker. He takes ball one, a little bit outside and off the plate. The right-handed hitting Becker on the year, hitting at just 203. And the 1-0 pitch is mashed right into left field for a single. Stopping at third is Wenkos. Moving up to second is Wendell. So three straight hits to start the innings. And right now, Princeton, this is about as well as you would want to come back after yielding three runs, as they have the bases all full, no vacancies, as the top of their order, and Aaron Prince stands in as Bill Wagner comes out of the Penn dugout to thought things over with Billy Kirk.
Second baseman Aaron Prince.
So three straight singles. It started off with Zach Wenkos. He went into left field, passed a diving Kyle Armoney, and that was followed by Stephen Wendell going up the center, and then Matt Becker fended one off to left field as well. So, there's one down with the bases loaded. And right now, if you're Bill Kirk, you're looking for a shallow fly ball or something on the infield. And that's about as good as it's going to get. But that's why Penn's insurance run, very important right here. The infield, they play in on the grass at first and third. The first pitch on the way to Prince is up high and outside and an off-speed pitch. The middle infield is close to the second base bag. The outfield straight away. Wind blowing out to the left field corner to the north. The 1-0 pitch, and that is strike one on the outside corner. The left-handed hitting Aaron Prince. Ball and strike to Prince. This is third at-bat. On the way, as a curve, can't catch the outside. Came in a little bit low, two balls and a strike to Prince. Flying out to left, his first time up in the top of the first. Singled in the top of the third as he puts one foul on the first base side, so that count is now even at two balls and two strikes. Prince was then caught and picked off back in the top of the third. Kirk nods at the sign, works out of the set, 2-2 on the way, it's high in the air to right field, deep to the track, Graves goes back, that should be deep enough to score the lead runner, Wendkost. He tags and comes in, overcommitting on the tag was Becker, and they've got him at first. The run does score, it counts, it is now a 3-2 game, but another great job by this Penn defense to relay, it went across from 6-3 on that as Brian Graves in right field quickly threw it back in. It was cut off by Sobel. He made the toss back across the infield grass to first. And that is a sacrifice, they will count it, for Aaron Prince.
Excellent alert play by the Penn defense, specifically Andrew Becta seeing the opportunity to get another runner out on the base pass. That's the fourth of the game the Tigers have been able to get out on the base pass, and they definitely deserve some credit for that because...
So...
because they're forcing out that they would not otherwise get. Even though the run does count, the Tigers get out of it basically in a situation with just one run.
So the Penn Quakers, as we were talking about, is now just a one-run game. Princeton answered Penn's 3-1 fourth, the run of their own here in the top of the fifth for the Quakers. They will go back to work on Eric Stiller. And for the red and blue, it's the top of the order as we go to the bottom of the fifth. Blagojevich, Armony, and Moffey, all due to hit here in the last of five. And that's a good sign if you're Penn because, once again, as we saw it against St. Joe's, starting things, it was that middle to bottom half of the order, getting things done for the Penn Quakers. It only leads you to believe that the top half's going to come around at some point. But for the Quakers, if they could get the third game of this series, that would at least give them a somewhat comfortable thought that they would be able to hang in this Ivy League title race. Now, as we said at the top of this webcast, a sweep of the Tigers would put Princeton down at 5-7 in the league and Penn at 7-7. Going into the final weekends for both of these clubs in Ivy League play. Leading off is Blagojevich as he rips one foul down the left field line. If Penn would improve to 9-7 with two wins this afternoon, if they took two yesterday, end of the weekend at 5-7. 0-1 is the count to Alex Blagojevich, the right-handed hitting left fielder for the Penn Quakers. He's 0-2 this afternoon. Stiller spies his sign. And now here's the 0-1. It's grounded back to the mound. Nice stop by Stiller. Easy play at first.
Good play by Stiller grabbing that one. If he missed it, it would have almost surely gone into the outfield for a base hit.
Kyle Armony standing in, the left-handed hitter, playing at third base, the freshman. Kyle Armony, a very menacing presence. The Ivy League will feel his impact, if it hasn't already, over the course of the next 3 years as he looks at ball one. 1-0 on a fastball inside. Stiller winds. Yeah, the 1-0. Big cut. No contact from Armony, who was fooled by a change in pace from Eric Stiller. A ball and a strike. Kyle Armony locked in for three hits against LaSalle back on April the 6th. A big game for him to break out of a slump. A 3-run home run as he sent that one deep to right field. One hop off the wall. He rounds first and will scoot into second, sliding safely for a one-out double. And Kyle Harmony now getting the job done, tearing one and pulling it down perfectly the right field line.
Baker has finally found a way to get to Eric Stiller, and even Alex Blagojevich, even though he was out by running back to the pitcher, that was a hard hit ball, which had Stiller not been able to grab, would have gone through for a base hit.
Nate Moffy at the plate for the senior center fielder. Singled his first time up to the right side back in the bottom of the first inning and grounded after shortstop in the last of the fourth. So Nate Moffy, his average down to 304, and you say down to 304, well, it was up at around 315, 320. We're going to have a pinch runner as Kyle Harmony comes out, Alex Nowaka checks in. And this is a great move by Bob Seddon. Just demonstrates how badly he wants these games. Because here we are in the bottom of the fifth, still at least 2.5 innings to play. We'll make that 2 2/3 innings, as there is one down here in the bottom of the fifth. But they put Alex Nowaka, who is usually used as a utility on the base paths, to try and see if he can come up with something and get a little bit greedy. So Nate Moffy at the plate, the first pitch to the left-handed hitter is in the air, high to left field, into the corner, drifting over is Balkin, and it's out of the park! It's out of the park, it hooks over the fence for a home run! A two-run towering shot from Nate Moffy puts Penn ahead 5-2! Nate Moffy, a big smile as he touches them all and comes home to put the Quakers up by 3-5-2.
Excellent swing to what is the shortest home run spot in the ballpark out to left field, just past the foul pole. The field goes out diagonally down to the 330 mark. So Nate Moffy takes advantage of the best spot of the field and lines it out.
You know, Bob Seddon's probably going to yell at Moffy because that makes the substitution look foolish right there. But I think they'll take the two runs.
And Nowaka is a good defensive presence, too, at third base. So.
And the second pitch on the way to Brian Graves, he had a called strike one right there and then swung and missed at the second, 0-2 to him. So there's one down here in the bottom of the fifth. Penn, two more runs to make it a 5-2 game as Graves doesn't commit on a fastball high over the plate. It was tempting, but it's a ball and two strikes. Here's the 1-2. Stiller working quickly, and boy, he really fired that one in there on the outside corner. A little bit of a frustration pitch right there to get Graves swinging.
Excellent, excellent pitch. Graves had no chance in it.
That really took about maybe all of a second to get down to the plate. And as soon as it left the hand of Stiller, it was behind Brian Graves. So that brings up Sean Abbott. He started things off as he belted a deep two-run shot, the first of this game, to right center field. Called strike one of the first pitch. The second one is down in the dirt, inside. You can see that Eric Stiller, he's really working quickly and just hurling the ball in there. He's visibly frustrated on the mound. Here comes the 1-1 on the way. A curveball tails up high and outside. Two balls and a strike. Stiller winds and serves up the 2-1 pitch, and that's high in the air to left field, but it will not stay fair. So the count evens up. Two balls and two strikes is the count to Sean Abbott. Hitting left, playing at first base. Head up 5-2 here in the bottom of the fifth, and Abbott, there's a deep shot to right field, way back and at the track. It's Andrew Cellini to snare it and retire the side of the red and blue. No wind going out that way. Perhaps if there was, it would have carried just enough. But around 325 feet away, Andrew Cellini took one away from Sean Abbott. So that will do it for Penn in the bottom of the fifth. But for the second consecutive inning, they put some runs on the board. Two, as a matter of fact, to make it a 5-2 contest going into the top of the sixth inning. And taking a recap here on the bottom of the fifth, Alex Blagojevich grounded out to the mound to start things off. Kyle Harmony reached on a one-out double, and then it was Nate Moffy who went the opposite way, hooking a fair ball down the left field line just inside the foul pole for a two-run home run to put Penn ahead 5-2 after Princeton came back in the top half of this fifth inning to make it again a one-run game, 3-2.
And again there, the Quakers were hitting Eric Stiller hard. Sean Abbott got a couple of good cuts off of him, which both with some wins could have been home runs. And definitely got to be a concern for Princeton. It'll be interesting to see how much longer they stick with him, because he's not pitching as well as he was, not nearly as well as he was back in the second and third innings when the Quakers went out back-to-back.
Well, I think a lot of that, Brian, is going to have to do right now with how this heart of the Princeton order will fare. They have their 2, 3, and 4 hitters, their best in the lineup, due up as Will Venable, the left-handed hitting center fielder, leads things off. The first pitch to him from Kirk, bunt shown 4, and fouled off plate. 0-1 is the count. Will Venable, he is 0-1, but it has not been his day. He reached on a walk back in the top of the first, but then was caught stealing for the first out, second out of that inning, then flied out to shallow right side of the infield his last time up in the top of the third. He shows bunt again. It goes off the mitt of Matt Horn behind the plate. A ball and a strike is a count to Will Venable. Bill Kirk now in his sixth inning. And the pitch, and that one again nicks off the edge of the mitt of Matt Horn on a fastball inside the knees. 2 balls and a strike is the count to Will Venable. Kirk sets and serves up the 2-1. Will gets around on that one, but well fell on the left side, swinging just a little bit late. So that puts the count at 2-2 to Will Venable. Will Venable on a roll in the Ivy League for this past week, going from April 4th to the 10th, hitting at .476. He went 10 for 21 as he looks at ball 3 high and away. 3 balls and 2 strikes.
Another
payoff pitch from Kirk is down and inside, so Will takes his second walk of the game.
Another full count for Billy Kirk and another walk, and not sure what his pitch count is, but must be getting pretty high.
So for Princeton, that's what you look for to start off. It's top of the sixth when you're down 3 runs, 5-2 to Penn. Get Will on board. Got some good speed. However, he was caught one time. I doubt he'll make the same mistake twice. And that puts Andrew Cellini at the plate, hitting at .417. At least that's what he came into the contest with, as Kirk steps off and checks Venable back to first base. Andrew Cellini takes the first pitch up high and away for ball 1. The left-handed hitting right fielder put away the final out of that bottom of the fifth for Penn. A lot of players like to make the last out of that inning so they can get back and get something going. An offense off the glove of Horn scoots to the right side almost into the Princeton dugout, and they give Will Venable an easy breeze walk down to second base. So a runner in scoring position for Princeton with none out in the top of the sixth inning. Just like that, they're threatening again.
There seems to be some activity in the Penn bullpen, so Billy Kirk's day may be nearing an end.
And for Kirk, it has been a solid showing so far. You'd hate to have it spoiled by letting the Tigers come back and make this one a very narrow and close game. 2-0 is a count to Cellini, the lefter. Swings and misses on a nice curveball that dips down and inside. 2 balls and a strike. Kirk sets, 2-1 on the way, and that is called strike 2 with a backdoor fastball on the outside to Andrew Cellini, who just shrugs that one off and disagrees with the call. Count evens up, 2 balls and 2 strikes. Will Venable standing on second. Takes maybe 7 strides off the bank. He reached on a pass ball. And the pitch on the way, high and outside. Count runs full, 3 balls and 2 strikes, just as it did to Will Venable. None down here in the top of the sixth. Penn ahead 5-2 from Murphy Field alongside Brian Lindy. Brian Seltzer here. And the 3-2 is underneath the kneecaps over the plate, though, but it is ball four. So two walks in this inning, a sign that Kirk may be struggling with that accuracy and command. As Bill Wagner is now going to step out of the dugout and talk things over with Billy Kirk. As we said, Bill Wagner has been here just as long as Bob Seddon. However, we talked about how Bob Seddon cut off his dual sport coaching duties when he said goodbye to soccer back in 1986. But Bill Wagner, he is a head coach of the Penn Sprint football team. And he does that with Ralph Rossler. And Ralph Rossler, as we said, he is the first base coach and hitting instructor for Penn. Ryan Eldridge, the left-handed hitting designated hitter at the plate, came in today with a .333 average, 7 home runs. Currently tied for a league lead, and with one swing, Eldridge has the potential to tie this with two runners on. And the first pitch, good job by Kirk to come over the plate with a fastball for strike one. For the Tigers, they have Will Venable standing at second. At first is Andrew Cellini, both reaching via walks. 0-1 is a count to Eldridge. Here's the pitch on the way. Fastball in the outside corner once again. 0-2 is the count to Ryan Eldridge. Ryan Eldridge struck out 18 times this year. Bill Kirk would love to get him go down for number 19. Kirk is ahead. Horn sets up outside. Here is the 0-2, who just a little bit inside and low, a ball and two strikes.
With an 0-2 count, you're always looking to get the hitter to chase, and this time Eldridge did not bite.
Kirk comes set at the letters. The 1-2 pitch on the way, just a little bit off the plate. Goes to two balls and two strikes to Ryan Eldridge. Kirk trying to get the K again, and it's cued off the end of the bat and out of play on the left side. Count holds up. Two balls and two strikes. That's where it stands to Ryan Eldridge, one of the more muscular hitters in this Princeton lineup. From the left side, he waves his bat. He awaits the 2-2 from Kirk, and he skies one high and foul again the opposite way to the left side, and the count holds up at two balls and two strikes. Some fans giving chase to foul balls here at Murphy Field. They have a very big crowd on hand on the final homestand for Penn of this 2005 season, barring an Ivy League playoff series. 2-2 is the count to Ryan Eldridge. 2-1 for Princeton. None out here in the top of the sixth. Pitch on the way, lined into center field. Nate Moffey charges in, and he makes the grab for the first down. A good job by Nate Moffey to sprint in and snag it out of the sky to send Eldridge, a very dangerous hitter, back to the dugout, and perhaps Penn now. They still are facing some very capable hitters in this Princeton lineup, but getting out of that danger zone, Brian.
Yes, and had that ball dropped in, and it nearly did. Tigers perhaps could score a run right there. They would have definitely sent the runners in motion, and instead Nate Moffey put the stop to all that.
Here's the ball, can one swing, slow roller to second. Becta is there, has to get up in his glove in a hurry, and he does to Sean Abbott for the second out of the inning. That does advance both runners as Will Venable goes down to third, and up at second is Andrew Cellini. So good job by Bulkin, however, to get the runners across, and now it's going to be up to Sal Iacono, who's 0-for-2 today with a ground out to short in the top of the second and a fly out to left center field in the top of the fifth to try and put some runs on the scoreboard for the Princeton Tigers. The first pitch to him is swung on and sent back to the screen for strike one.
And Becton deserves some credit there. Definitely
trying
to get a runner ahead. He didn't have much chance to get the playoff, get the good throw off, and get the only out he can get.
Absolutely. He did a great job of reading it early and coming in on a slow infield today at Murphy Field. The 0-1 pitch is lofted high and deep to left field, back to the wall. Blagojevich goes back, and it's off the fence. That's going to score two runs easily as Venable comes across. Cellini as well. It's now 5-4, back to a run with two down here in the top of the sixth. So, the Princeton Tigers, not that we thought they would, but no signs of giving up here. And this game, you know, it's tough to think of the way the storyline is playing out as Bob Seddon comes out to make a pitching change. Tough to not think back to a game that Princeton won last year, 21-11 in just 7 innings. Penn in that game, it was back and forth all the way. The Quakers were up by as much as 4-2 at one point. Then Princeton went ahead 5-4. It was then 6-4 until the Quakers came back to make it 10-4. It was then 10-6, later 11-6 until the Tigers came back to make it 21-11. But Bill Kirk now getting a standing ovation, a nice round of applause as he walks back to the Penn dugout, leaving the hill for what may be very well the final time here at Murphy Field. Dan Finkelstein comes in for the red and blue, and for Dan Finkelstein, the senior right-hander from Arlington, Virginia, this season he has made 9 appearances counting today. He has won none, lost none, a 3.38 ERA in 13 and a third innings. He's allowed 6 runs, 5 of them earned, struck out 7 and walked 3. Dan Finkelstein, a very impressive year, another one of the seniors on this team. After the 3 preceding seasons on this Penn program, somewhat rough for Finkelstein coming out of the bullpen, but this year he has been almost untouchable in relief for Penn, very reliable. So we will have the final line on Bill Kirk upcoming, but he has given up 4 runs, 6 hits in 5 2/3 innings worked. So Sal Iacono, a big slam to left center field to send 2 in.
And some of those numbers, he pitched 5 2/3 innings, 6 hits left, 4 runs, 3 of them earned, 5 walks, and I don't think he had any strikeouts.
And you know, the Quakers and Bill Kirk, they are very, very lucky that there was a dead breeze, nothing whatsoever, no gusts out in left field, because that would have really, I think, had a chance to lift the ball over the fence and then we'd be tied. So at the plate, Zach Wincoast, the right-handed hitting catcher. So far today, he has reached base twice. And the pitch to him swung on and missed on a fastball high and outside. They actually say he teed it off into the glove of Matt Horn, so 0-1. He reached an error on the third baseman, Kyle Armoney, in the top of the third. Scored in that inning. He also scored back in the top of the fifth. The pitch on the way is grounded back towards the middle. Sobel shifts to his left, comes up with it, and completes the inning for Penn. Princeton, however, does make a stand, coming back to make this a one-run game. It's 5-4. They take 2 runs on 1 hit from Sal Iacono, a big double to bring 2 around off of 2 walks from Bill Kirk, and that's really the 3 passes come back to haunt you right there. So Penn, as we work our way to the bottom of the sixth, trying to tack on some insurance scores and maybe give their closer, who you may presume could be Andy Consol, to come in and shut things down for the Penn Quakers.
And coming up this inning to do it for the Quakers, many of the guys who were a big part of the rally back in the fourth inning, Spencer Whitty, Matt Horn, Evan Sobel.
And those are the hitters you like to have up there to try and see, because, again, just like that, the 3-6 spots pretty much on the Princeton lineup with one swing, that could change the scoreboard quickly.
And left in it, and back in that fourth inning, Spencer Whitty had a single, got the second on the pass ball, and then came home barely getting around the base pass, driven home by an Evan Sobel single.
The final line on Bill Kirk, 5 2/3 innings, 6 hits, 4 runs, all earned, 5 walks, no strikeouts, 89 pitches so far for Eric Stilla. This is now his 6th inning of activity. He's pitched in 5 complete, 7 hits, 5 runs, 4 earned, no walks, 3 strikeouts, and 79 pitches. For Bill Kirk, 49 of his 89 pitches came across the plate for strikes, so good numbers for Bill Kirk right there. He'd love to walk out of here with a win and improve his average to to 3-2 on the year. However, it's now up to the Penn bullpen.
The Quakers would love to give Andy Consell or whoever may come in or stay in for the next inning some more comfort clutch than they do have, which right now is just a 1-1 lead.
Spencer Whitty. And first, and the pitch to him comes over the back on a breaking ball for ball one. The 1-0 pitch on the way as Whitty one hop to second. Good glove by Prince. Over to first to Stephen Wendell to retire Spencer Whitty on two pitches.
The second ground out, the second of the game.
Second one for Spencer Whitty as well. He is now 1-2, and that brings up Matt Horn. Matt Horn has been unable to put the ball in play in two at bats. Looking to do some damage right here. The first pitch to him, humpback line, drive shallow left field. Back on it is Becker, and he wheels back to make the grab. Two down quickly on three pitches. And for Princeton, this is exactly what you want. Get out of this inning quickly, get the bats back over the plate, and try and tie things up in the top of the seventh.
The Quakers have jumped early in the count to the last two batters, and perhaps it seems as if the past couple innings, Eric Stiller has started to lose his stamina a bit, and perhaps if they were a bit more patient to play, it could help, but then again, they have gotten to him a lot more than just about anyone else has this season. As the ERA was just 2.19 coming in, as the train goes by the field here, freight train track going somewhere passes right through the stadium just left of Murphy Field.
First pitch on the way to Evan Sobel, off and outside with a fastball. The ball and no strikes to Evan Sobel, whose single for an RBI could not be coming more handy right now for the red and blue as they sit ahead by a run, 5-4, to Sobel takes strike one in the outside corner. The senior shortstop playing his final game here at Murphy Field. As he rolls one to second, Aaron Prince makes his second play of the inning to put Penn away 1-2-3 in the bottom of the sixth. No runs, no hits, no errors for the red and blue. They don't leave any stranded. We now go to the top of the seventh where the Quakers have a chance to take their third straight contest from the Princeton Tigers. We'll see what the Penn Pen can do in the top half of this second inning. Coming up between games, we will have a complete statistical recap of game one and an interview with David Schwartz, the father of Stephen Schwartz. He'll be joining me here to talk about Stephen's efforts so far this season and what the future holds for him and what he has learned from the 12 seniors that are playing their final game at the Murph this afternoon. Andy Consell, a very slow and deliberate walk to the mound. He realizes he has quite the task ahead of him. Taking a look at yesterday, Andy Consell came in against the Tigers in the top of the ninth inning in Penn's 5-4 lead. Ironically, the same score that we have right now. He hurled one inning, and he threw 15 pitches and struck out the side for the save.
And he'd love to do that again here. And it will be the 8-9-1 hitters of Princeton coming up. Stephen Wendell, Matt Becker, and Aaron Prince. They'll definitely want to try to get a couple quick outs.
And Andy Consell, a team-high 4 saves on the season. He's the only one to close games out for the Quakers so far this year. And taking a look back in Penn history, the individual record for saves in a season belongs to senior Brian Winings. He had 8 back in 2003. So the Quakers, with these afternoon's games, they have 2 this afternoon, and they have 2 more this week against Patriot League teams Lehigh and Lafayette. Then they have the final 4 up in Ithaca, New York, against Cornell. So Andy Consell, the way the Penn has been playing these close games, has an opportunity to possibly put his name in the record books for this Penn team. And just revisiting those numbers, there are 3 other Penn players that are tied on the list for four saves. Next is Nick Bornhost. In 2001, he had five saves. So Andy Consell could etch his name in the record books right here and put himself second in the all-time saves list, or a single-season saves list, as the first pitch comes in outside and off the plate. To the Tigers.
One of the longest trades I've ever seen.
As that one's in the air by Wendell to right center field as Nate Moffey records the first out.
Good play by Moffey. Moving over, getting under it and making the grab.
So Andy Consell pops up Stephen Wendell, and that brings up Matt Becker, who has certainly seen his fair share of defensive plays this afternoon. Becker, he's one for one. He walked back in the top of the third and had a very crucial single to left field back in the top of the fifth. Looking to get things started. The pitcher on the way. Check swing. He did not go around on a ball just off the plate outside. Consell awaits the sign from Matt Horn, trying to get one out closer to a win here in the first game of a doubleheader against Lou Gehrig division rivals Princeton. The 1-0 pitch on the way, and that's off the plate. Low and away. Two balls, no strikes. Consell into the wind, and the pitch on the way. Nice off-speed pitch right down the heart of the plate for strike one. Yesterday, Andy Consell, again, no walks, three strikeouts in that save. Ground ball to short, Sobel gobbles it up and guides the throw to first for the second out of the inning. Two down here in the top of the seventh, head ahead 5-4, and that brings to the plate Aaron Prince. Aaron Prince for the Princeton Tigers, he is the leadoff hitter, and Prince came into the game a .259 hitter, no home runs on the season. He does have five doubles.
And he's 1-for-3 on the day. A single in the third inning.
First pitch shows bunt, but pulls back. And that's ball one, high and outside.
But he was picked off later that inning.
Consell winds. Here's a 1-0 on the way. Bunt again, and that is right down the middle. For strike one. A ball and a strike is the count to the left-handed hitting. Aaron Prince. Consell comes in and down low in the dirt, two balls and a strike. Andy Consell trying for save number five of the season. He winds. Here's the 2-1 on the way to Prince, up high and a little bit tight. Three balls and a strike. Now, what you don't want to do is give Will Venable a shot right here. If you're Andy Consell, that has to be lingering in the back of your mind. You want to get through with Prince right here. 3-1 on the way. Prince was taking, and it was a fastball in the inside corner for strike two. The count runs full. Three balls and two strikes. Penn ahead 5-4 with two down here. Top of the seventh. Consell winds. Pitch on the way. Just outside. Ball four. And now Winnerville Venable steps into the left-handed batter's box.
Still, this is Will Venable's reached base set of three times. He has not had a hit yet. Both times were walks. And if you're Andy Consell, even though Venable is one of the Tigers' most dangerous hitters, you cannot be unfazed here. You need to follow through and get the out.
First pitch to Will. Outside corner for strike one to the left-handed hitting center fielder. So just like that, this is one of the up-and-comers in the Ivy League, and Andy Consell coming against one of the best seniors in the league. 0-1. His account in the dirt. Horn didn't see it go into his glove. He throws off the mask immediately, but he recovers quickly to hold Aaron Prince on first. A ball and a strike is the count to Will Venable. Consell sets. And here's the 1-1. Ripped into right field. That's going to be a base hit. Rolling towards the wall, Graves cuts it off. Rounding second is Prince, and he goes to third and holds up. So with two down, runners on the corners, and that brings up the second best hitter, Andrew Cellini, on this Princeton Tigers roster. He came into the game hitting at .417. And for Cellini, 22 RBIs.
But and wasn't this story a bad pitch that Consell threw there? Venable just painted the perfect spot down the right field line where it was tough, a challenge for Brian Graves to get to, and that allowed the runner to get that start, Aaron Prince. But still, he does have two outs here, and one more will end the inning.
So Penn, they recorded the first two outs of the inning by facing the 8 and 9 hitters. Stephen Wendell flying out to right center field, and then Matt Becker, the 9 hitter, grounded out to shortstop. So it was two down. There was then a walk to Aaron Prince, and Will Venable just dashed a deep single right there down the right field line, and that brings up Andrew Cellini, who is 0 for 1 but has walked twice and scored a run this afternoon. Console sets. The first pitch with runners on the corners is up high and away. Ball one. Billy Wagner, the entire Penn infield, was just out on the mound talking over some strategy for what has become a game in which you really gnaw your nails away. The 1-0 pitch is swing and a miss on some high heat outside. A foul tip, they'll say. A ball and a strike.
Great pitch by Andy Console.
You like to see the freshman come in with no fear right there. After Andrew Cellini. Console sets. Here's the 1-1 pitch. It's lined into left center field for a base hit, and that ties the game at 5. Will Venable being waved around third. They're going to make a play at the plate, and the throw is well high. The Tigers take a 6-5 lead just like that off of a double. They'll give it a single to Cellini, and then he'll advance on the indifference to second base. Princeton up 6-5 with two runs here on two outs in the top of the seventh inning. So, for Penn, they're now going to have to shut Princeton down. No further damage can be allowed here, because they're going to have to come back in the bottom of the seventh to try to tie things up. They were ahead 5-2. Last four runs scored by Princeton. Swing and a miss by Ryan Eldridge, the left-handed hitting designated hitter, on a fastball high outside. 0-1 is the count.
It'll be interesting to see if the Tigers stick with Eric Stiller here in the ninth inning.
And a nice breaking ball from Console down and away. Quickly, 0-2 is a count to Ryan Eldridge.
That's a question, though, that needs to be saved until the Quakers get out of the thing, which will hopefully for them be right now.
And boy, that's when it was just one walk too many for this Penn pitching staff. And that put Aaron Prince on, and he scored the go-ahead run. A foul tip from Eldridge goes right into the glove of Matt Horn. And that retires a side. However, with two down in the top of the seventh, with their backs against the wall, the Princeton Tigers, those terrible Tigers, came right back and put two on the board to tie, and then one to go ahead. 6-5 off the RBI single from Andrew Cellini to pick up his 23rd and 24th runs batted in on the year. So for Princeton, there's going to be a pitching change they're going to bring in. Brian Campbell, the senior left-handed pitcher from Toms River, New Jersey. He's appeared in 8 games. It's an ERA of 3.48. He's 1-0 on the season. He's pitched in 10 and a third innings, given up 4 runs. All 4 have been earned, struck out 10, and walked 7. He has 3 saves, looking for number 4 right here. So again, just to go over how the scoring panned out in this one, Princeton put the first run on the board back in the top of the third. The Quakers answered in the bottom of the fourth with a 3-run effort that came back to make it a 5-2 game in the last of the fifth after Princeton responded with one run in the top of the fifth as well. Then Penn, they scored no more after that. After it was 5-2, Princeton has scored a pair of runs in the two recent innings in the top of the sixth and now in the top of the seventh. And the Quakers, they've just got to keep their heads high and go to work against Brian Campbell, who comes out of the Princeton bullpen and throws with a lot of speed, a lot of velocity, and is very consistent. Due up for the Penn Quakers. They'll have Andrew Becta in the ninth spot and turn things over to the top of the order as Blagojevich and Kyle Harmony are due.
So Harmony's out of the game.
Well, hitting for him, it seems like it's going to be Jaron Smith. So coming out to the mound to talk things over with his closer is Zach Wenkos. He's going to speak with Brian Campbell, who's looking to close out the Quakers and give Princeton a come-from-behind 6-5 victory.
But as you said, the key is they still have to close this one out, and the Quakers will do whatever they can to prevent that from happening.
10 players out of the dugout on the third base side, voicing their support for Andrew Becta, who looks at ball one down and away. Bottom of the seventh inning, alongside Brian Lindy, I'm Brian Seltzer. Another one, another close contest between these two rivals. Becta today, he's 0 for 2, grounded at the third, then the last of the third, and struck out in the last of the fourth.
And he quickly gets ahead in the count, 2-0.
And here's a 2-0 pitch, down in the dirt. Three balls and no strikes. So, Andrew Becta will take whatever Campbell gives him. The green light's probably going to be shining right here. Here's the 3-0. All the way, he looks at strike one on the inside corner. Three balls and a strike is a count to the right-handed hitting. Andrew Becta, who made a fine defensive play earlier, to get Pat out of jam, and the ball four is thrown behind the mitt of Zach Wenkos. And Andrew Becta will gladly take first base. He's the leadoff base runner here in the top and bottom of the seventh. Penn trails by a run. 6-5, they enter the inning up 5-4. A pinch runner as Andrew Becta comes out. J.T. Hutchinson goes in. So Andrew Becta ends the day 0-2, but he picks up a very important walk here in the bottom of the seventh inning. So Alex Blagojevich comes to the plate, batting right, playing left field. He's 0-3 this afternoon, grounded back to the mound, most recently in the bottom of the fifth inning. Brian Campbell on the hill, he has one man to watch for at first. He sets bunt zone four by Blagojevich right back to the mound. Campbell can turn one to second, and that's all they get. Good job by Blagojevich to slide in there and try and throw off the shortstop, Matt Becker. However, it was to no avail as Hutchinson was put out. Blagojevich goes to first, and Jaron Smith sends in. Jaron Smith, he does have that habit of coming through with key hits. He's had two game-winning connections so far this season. And for Jaron Smith, going back to Dartmouth, the second game of that doubleheader on April the 4th, he had a first-pitch walk-off two-run shot with two down. So we'll see, with one down here in the bottom of the seventh, Penn trailing by two, and Blagojevich on what the freshman Jaron Smith might be able to come up with right here. A little bit of magic for Jaron as he looks at ball one down and inside. To the right-handed hitting, pinch hitter for Penn. He is a switch hitter, but bats right. And it's a bat right here. 1-0 the count with one down. Pitch on the way. He slices one back to the screen off the right side as it quickly goes to a ball and a strike. Jaron Smith. And as Blagojevich on first, Brian Campbell on the hill trying to close this one out for Princeton so they can steal one from the Quakers. The second pitch on the way is back to the screen again. A ball and two strikes. A lot of these freshmen on this Penn team, unfazed by pressure situations. Campbell sets, and the 1-2 as Smith goes fishing for a breaking ball low and away. A great pitch by Brian Campbell to record the second out of the inning. So Penn is down to their final out, and Nate Moffey, a hitter of one home run already today, stands in to try and come up and use that stick to swat a game-winning home run, or at least try and tie it here in the last of the seventh inning. Penn trails 6-5. Moffey, the left-hand hitting center fielder, looks at ball one in the dirt inside. 1-0 the count to Nate. Nate Moffey today 2-for-3. Single to right field, back in the bottom of the first, and a home run, a two-run shot, back in the last of the fifth. The strike is right there over the middle. 1-1 is a count to Nate Moffey. Moffey waves the bat, the 1-1 pitch on the way, lines it into left center field, and hooks in for a base hit. So Penn will have two base runners as Blagojevich advances to second with two down, and again, just like Princeton was able to get the big bats in their lineup up to the plate, that's what Penn's been able to do right here as Brian Gray stands in. A very solid shot by Nate Moffey. And Princeton, they put on their two runs with two down as well, so it is not out of the question for the Quakers.
Definitely isn't, and Brian Gray has been showing up and coming up here as the guys for the Quakers definitely one up at the plate in a situation like this.
Brian Graves hitting right, playing in right field. Two men on, first pitch to him. He looks at strike one right down the runway. 0-1 is the count. So Campbell looking to calm things downhill and come back and close it out for the save. Looking for his fourth of the year. Comes set. Campbell serving up the 0-1 check swing, and the base umpire, Tom Beck, says that Graves did not go around. A good call right there. So a ball and a strike. Brian Graves looking to come up with a hit to have Penn possibly walk off. The pitcher on the way. Down and out. 2-1.
Not sure he'd mind the free pass either, especially with Sean Abbott coming up, the lefty hitter who would be facing the righty pitcher here.
2-1. Moffey at first. Blagojevich at second. Here's the 2-1. A big cut, and it's fouled off to the right side. And out of play. You saw that. You knew where Graves was swinging on that one. And the count evens up. 2 balls, 2 strikes, 2 down. Penn down by a run, 6-5. Last of the seventh. So Penn, this is it. They were ahead 5-4, top of the inning. But the Tigers came back to put two on. They're ahead 6-5 as Campbell gets signed sets. And the pitch to Graves swung on and smoked to right field to the corner, and that is just foul. Oh, just foul. Just foul for Brian Graves.
Tough one to take. It was almost a perfect shot, but the wind blew it just foul, it looked like.
And that was the pitch to drive right there. We'll see if Kaplan gives him another one. So McCann holds it 2 balls and 2 strikes. 2 down. Again, Blagojevich, he reached on a fielder's choice and was advanced by Nate Moffey's single to left center field. Campbell at the belt, 2-2 to Graves, and Graves stays alive, putting one above the screen, and foul out of play behind home plate. Both these teams, just a tough fight, and it's these type of contests where it's real a tough pill to swallow for the team that comes up a little bit short. 2-2, 2 down, 2 on, pitch on the way, Graves, grounds one foul on the first base side. Still standing is Brian Graves, forcing Campbell to work every pitch for his fourth save. So it's 2-2 now, still 2-2 to Graves. He's fouled the last three off. Campbell comes with a 2-2 pitch, ground ball off the mound. Campbell blocks it down. He recovers quickly, throws to first, and that does it. The Princeton Tigers rob game one of this doubleheader from the Red and Blues, 6-5 your final. They do so on 8 hits, posting 5 runs over the course of the fifth through seventh innings after Penn had built itself what seemed like would have been enough, a 3-run lead, 5-2. And the Quakers, they trailed early 1-0 back in the bottom of the third. They came back to make it 3-1. It was later 3-2. They then increased the cushion 5-2, and that was where their offense stopped. They did it off of Princeton's best pitcher, but the win was not to be. Going to come up with some final lines for you, but again, Princeton wins it on 6 runs, 8 hits. They committed only 1 error. Penn, 5 runs on 8 hits as well, and 2 errors in the big story in this game. It's going to be the walks. It's going to be the walks for the Penn Quakers. So the red and blue, they fall to 11-18 on the year. Excuse me, 11-19. They are now 6-7 in the Ivy League. Princeton improves to 12-17. They are 6-5 and regain first place all themselves as Penn slips down to second. However,
the Quakers can even that up again.
They can. They certainly can.
In a few minutes here.
So it's about half an hour time between the end of this first game and the second. We're going to keep it live here throughout. Brian Lindy is going to come in with a couple stats once we get the boxes all ready to go. Also, an interview with David Schwartz, the father of Steven Schwartz, a freshman pitcher on this Penn team. And unfortunately, Andy Consol is going to get the loss. That's his second of the year. The winning pitcher for the Tigers is Eric Stiller. Eric Stiller. Penn got to him. As you said, they figured him out for a while, but credit Stiller to really shut things down in terms of Penn's production the past couple innings. Taking a look at the way it went, he went 1-2-3 against the red and blue back in the bottom of the sixth, and that's what they needed because it was in the bottom, the top of the fifth, where Princeton, they posted a run. So Stiller came in the sixth to shut Penn down quickly. No, excuse me. Top of the sixth is when Princeton posted 2 runs to make it 5-4. Stiller came in, and he shut then Penn down 1-2-3 to get the Tigers right back out at the plate, which enabled them to score 2 more in the top of the seventh to make it a 6-5 victory. Again, the winning pitchers, Stiller, he goes to 5-1 in the year. He has won each of his last 5 outings. The loser is Andy Consol. He drops to 0-2, credit the 4th save of the season to Brian Campbell, who went 1 inning, a hit allowed, no runs, 1 walk, a strikeout on 21 pitches. Again, the final score in the first game, 6-5, Princeton took one out of the hands of the Quakers. Now Brian Lindy will take over with Stat Corner as we have an interview with David Schwartz coming up in just a little bit.
Thanks, Brian, and now we go over a few stats from the game. A very, very disappointing loss from the Quakers. They had the bases empty with 2 outs in the top of the 7th inning, but Andy Consol could not record that final out. He gets a blown save, and the loss, he drops 0-2 in the year. He allowed those 2 runs, those all-critical runs. In terms of offense, the Quakers' most productive player at the plate today was Nate Moffey. He was 3-4 with a run scored and 2 RBIs. Also, knocking into our... Nate Moffey had a home run, as did Sean Abbott. Abbott was 1-3 with a run scored and the 2 RBIs off the home run. The 5th run was scored by Spencer Whitty, just barely beating out the throw on an Evan Sobel hit. Other lines for the Quakers. Kyle Armoney was 3-1 before Alex Walker came in as a pinch runner. Jaron Smith was 0-1. Alex Blagojevich in the leadoff spot was 0-4. Brian Graves was 1-4 with a run scored. Matt Horn was 0-3. And Andrew Bestu was 0-2. Pitching lines for the Quakers. Bill Kirk pitched 5 2/3 innings. Gave up 4 runs. All earned. Walked 5 batters and... Again, control plagues him again, and that was one of his problems. 2 of those walks came around to score. He did not have any strikeouts. He threw 89 pitches, but still left with the Quakers in the lead. Dan Finkelstein came in and gave up one-third of an inning, gave up no runs, faced 1 batter, and retired that batter on just 2 pitches. And now some numbers for Princeton Tigers. Andrew Prince, leadoff hitter, was 1-2 with runs scored two RBIs, and walked Will Venable with one of two, walked twice, scored two runs, including the tying run in the critical top of the seventh. Andrew Sleeney, also one of two, also had two walks, had two RBIs, the two critical RBIs, driving home Aaron Prince and Will Venable in the top of the seventh. He walked twice, and ZH Ryan Eldridge did not have his best game, was 0-4 with the strikeout. Same goes for Adam Balkin, he was 0-3. Sal Iacono, the third baseman, batting sixth, was 1-3 with two RBIs. Zach Wencoast, was 2-3 with two runs scored. Steven Wendell was 1-3, and Matthew Becker was 1-2. Pitching line, and Eric Stiller pitched six innings to get the win, even though he left with the Tigers down a run. Pitched six innings, gave up five runs and seven hits. Only four of those runs were earned, had three strikeouts, threw 85 pitches, and then Brian Cappell came in and pitched one inning. He did give up a hit and a walk, but he did get a K as well, and he was able to get out of the inning for his fourth save. With the win, Eric Stiller goes to 5-1. With the loss, Andy Kunstl drops to 0-2. And that just a very, very tough loss for the Quakers to take. They were up for most of the game. They were one out away with the bases empty in the top of the seventh. It certainly looked like they were going to win this, but fortunately they could not pull it out. And right now in front of us we have the induction to the Penn Hall of Fame. We will have Penn Baseball Hall of Fame. We will have more information on that later. We'll have more information on that later today. Just again, a weekend of honoring a number of people. Yesterday with ceremony for Bob Seddon, who the dugout was credited to today. Right now, earlier before the game, they honored the Penn Seniors each with plaques. And right now, they're announcing the Penn Baseball Hall of Fame inductees, and we'll definitely have more coverage on that later. A reminder, we're in between games here of a doubleheader. Second game is about to come up, and we will get you the lineup for that once we have them. We will have a guest coming in to the box, the father of Penn freshman pitcher Steven Schwartz, and Brian Seltzer will be conducting that interview hopefully shortly. As the Quakers right now are getting set for their second game and hope to even the record in the Ivy League back up at 8-8, with Princeton also dropping to 500. If they want to have a chance of winning the Ivy League, this is a critical, critical game for the Quakers. They knew they had to win 3 of 4 this weekend. They knew that this game would be their toughest. The first game would be their toughest with Eric Stiller. They nearly pulled it off with a close, hard-fought game in which they led much of the way. Could not pull it out, but they still have a chance to even the record back up at 500 in the Ivy League and drop Princeton to 500 with a win in the second game.